Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday in Lent comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one say to his neighbor, and each one to his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. And from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest, chosen from among men, is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, and spit on him, and flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a historical heel, but that's because the Catholic Church made a Reformation Age saint out of Thomas More, and Golden Age Hollywood helped by making More a man for all seasons. All Hollywood saints need a semi-demonic tormentor, and that's what Thomas Cromwell was cast as for More. But I'm a Lutheran, and as far as I can tell, so was Cromwell. So honestly, I was ecstatic when A-list literary talent Hilary Mantel fixated on the story of Henry VIII and made Cromwell at least her anti-hero, if not her outright hero. Even happier when Masterpiece Theater turned her books into this scrumptious Renaissance court feast for the eyes. And there's one phrase that Mantel puts into Cromwell's mind that summarizes his entire outlook. Choose your prince carefully. For the enigmatic Cromwell, that phrase means a lot of things. But one of the things it means is what David Foster Wallace, another literary talent quite different from Mantel, riffed off of in his famous graduation address. Everybody serves something. If you've never heard that speech, you can find it on YouTube. Just Google Wallace and Kenyon graduation. It's worth it. It's only about 20 minutes. Or you could read Luther's large catechism on the first commandment. Luther sounds an awful lot like Wallace. Or I suppose I should say that when I first listened to it, I wondered if that Illinois-based writer had been reading Luther, or talking with a Lutheran pastor who was much thicker on the ground in Illinois. Luther writes, paraphrasing slightly, that we all have a God. The only question is, which God are we serving? Is it the living God? Or is it those gods which are even now passing away? The devil, the world, and our own flesh. Choose your prince carefully. If you read the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, closely, one of the constants of their structure is these three formal passion predictions. Our text today at the start is the third of those three. And Jesus and the disciples are on the road to Jerusalem. And he takes them aside and tells them what is going to be waiting for them in Jerusalem. It's this full prediction, betrayal, and trial, and mockings, and crucifixion. Like our hymn of the day, the prediction follows that entire Via Dolorosa. And somehow, the reaction to this prediction by Jesus, by James and John, is to ask him for the seats on his right and the seats on his left in his glory. James and John were just working on alternative facts. They had the same set of facts that Peter had about the Messiah, that he represented after Jesus' first passion prediction. The Messiah does not suffer and die. If the Messiah is heading to Jerusalem, it's to take the throne of his father David. It doesn't matter that the living in the flesh, Jesus, is before them saying that that's not true. Nothing displaces their facts. So James and John think they're asking for thrones, for worldly power, for personal status, because that's the human condition. We don't think about who we are serving, because serving we equate with weakness and shame. We desire to lord it over. If we're good at the game, we might exercise authority. Jesus' words at that point are quite interesting. And so predictably, it's right there that our translators file off their rough edges and make them smooth. My rougher translation is, you know the ones who think that they rule the nations. They lord it over them. And the great ones, hear those scare quotes, tyrannize them. That's the way of the world. From the middle school lunchroom hierarchy to the last rumors of who has been fired and who has been hired in the White House. But here in those sharp words of Jesus, the ones who think they rule. James and John think they are asking to rule. Of course, what they are actually asking for with this Messiah is the cross, the right and the left thrones of this king don't look like any other kings. Choose your prince carefully. If we think that we're ruling the world, we are probably actually its servant. We can put 20 years into a career. We can rise up through the ranks. We can place smart bets on the political wins and still wind up fired without a pension a day before. Time and chance happen to us all. Those smart bets can turn up snake eyes. One of Thomas Cromwell's early princes was a cleric, Cardinal Wolsey. Cardinal Wolsey had accumulated all of the offices of England, and the young king's ear was his. And Cromwell, his chief fixer, saw within a year all of them stripped away as Wolsey was arrested on charges of treason for not getting Henry his divorce from the Pope. Wolsey's famous lament at the moment of his arrest was, "If I had served my God as well as my king, he would not have handed me over in my gray hairs." And most of us don't get what Wolsey got from choosing the world. If we think that we're ruling ourselves, we're probably slaves to our stomach. We spend so much time picking exactly the right brands and things that signal who we are. We're fastidious about the food we eat or the coffee we drink. Our sex lives might be our identity. We've been honed almost as if a birthright into consuming machines, both things and people. Yet, for most people at most times, ruling the self was not about adding the right things, but ruling the self was in denying ourselves, especially luxuries. The man in control of himself looked more like a monk than like a king, and certainly not a hedonist. Whoever desires to be first among you is to be the slave of all. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The ways of God are not our ways. We think that the ones who rule have all the cushy things. But to God who actually rules, to the throne of heaven that all will answer to, the first one, the primary one, the Alpha, is the slave of all. And this one is the Christ. This Jesus would be the servant of all. On that cross, he would take the scorn of the world. On that cross, he would take all of this world's perverse judgment. On that cross, he would drink its bitter cup and undergo that baptism of blood that was ours by right, because we were the traitors to the throne. We chose those alternate princes, the devil, the world, and our flesh. We sought to tyrannize whatever we could, whenever we could. And we compounded the sin. And Jesus carried it. Jesus served the entire world, carrying all the sins of all time. And he did this not because he was serving the world, but he did this because he was serving the Father. Jesus also served the Father in showing us how to follow. If we wanted to choose this prince, learn from him to pray as he prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thine. Learn from him to bear the cross. We might drink his cup and we might bear his baptism, but even if we are never called to martyrdom, we're called to understand that serving this prince means being at war with Satan and the princes of this world. We learn from Jesus to set our eyes not on temporal things, but on the eternal things. We learn from Jesus that if we wish to keep this life, we must lose it in service to our neighbor. Learn from Jesus Christ to die and to rise. When we look at that cross, when we look at the tomb, we are called to faith. This life might be finished, but life is not finished. The Father has promised to set things right, create those new heavens and the new earth. And he started that new creation with his Son, whom he raised from the dead. And right now, Jesus is exalted as our great high priest. In him, we have the forgiveness of sins, and in Christ, we shall have that resurrection body. Choose your prince carefully. You're free to choose the common ones: Satan, the world, ourselves. But don't be fooled. When you choose them, we aren't ruling. The Father is still sovereign. And any throne that we have from them is a stolen one, a tyranny. And don't be fooled, keeping a stolen throne is the harshest master you will ever serve. You will never know when your life will be demanded from you, when you will be brought before the actual throne. But if you serve this prince, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. He calls his slaves brothers and sisters. He's been our servant. He's taken our baptism and given us his. He's ransomed many. And that ransom is not for harsh service, but it's a ransom for glory. Satan, in this world, in our bellies, we'll say, get what you can now, because tomorrow we're gone. But Christ says, no. You have eternity before you. For a time, serve. There's plenty of time for that glory. You're going to serve somebody. Choose your prince carefully. Amen.